The Supreme Court today handed President Trump a major victory, allowing the administration to take steps aimed at implementing its ban on automatic citizenship for all babies born in the U.S. More importantly, the court's 6-3 decision makes it far more difficult to bring a nationwide challenge to other executive orders issued by President Trump or by any future president. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
President Trump hailed the decision as a vindication of his plan to bar birthright citizenship for children born in the U.S. whose parents are not here legally or who are here legally but on a temporary basis.
It's a giant, and they should be very proud, and our country should be very proud of the Supreme Court today.
Notwithstanding the president's celebration, today's decision took no position on birthright citizenship at all. Rather, the court's conservative supermajority granted the administration's request to curb the ability of lower court judges to apply their rulings nationwide, the result being that in most cases, challenges to a presidential executive order will benefit only the individual plaintiffs and groups that bring a case. Writing for the conservative court, Justice Amy Coney Barrett said that universal injunctions that apply a ruling nationwide were not anticipated by the nation's founders and have not been authorized by Congress. Quote, "When a court concludes that the executive branch has acted unlawfully," she said, "the answer is not for the court to exceed its power, too." Writing for the three liberal dissenters, Justice Sonia Sotomayor said that the president's executive power does not permit him to rewrite the Constitution or statutory provisions at a whim. Indeed, both liberal and conservative scholars have said that the text of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution leaves little room for doubt on birthright citizenship, since it explicitly says that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. By allowing the Trump policy to continue for now, though, said Sotomayor, the court, quote, "endorses the radical proposition that the president is harmed irreparably whenever he cannot do something that he wants to do, even if what he wants to do is to break the law." Georgetown Law Professor Stephen Vladek.
The real import of the Supreme Court's decision is less about the birthright citizenship policy, which is almost certainly never going to go into effect anywhere in the United States, and more about how much harder it's going to make plaintiffs in other cases who are trying to challenge other nationwide initiatives of the Trump administration and any future president.
Justice Barrett's opinion for the court did leave some loopholes for plaintiffs to use in challenging not just Trump's birthright citizenship policy, but other policies. The court said that states could seek universal injunctions and that citizens could bring class actions on behalf of themselves and others in similar situations. But states cannot bring class actions, and as Vladek notes,
so one of the real ironies of today's decision is that part of why nationwide injunctions became so popular was because of the Supreme Court, which in a series of rulings in the early 2010s put more and more and more obstacles in the way of certifying nationwide classes.
Notwithstanding those difficulties, immigrant rights groups almost immediately today filed a nationwide class action lawsuit challenging the Trump executive order barring birthright citizenship for certain classes of babies born in the U.S. University of Chicago law professor William Bode.
I think the real stakes of this case are not just for the birthright citizenship order, which I think is going to be dead one way or another. It's for everything else this administration and the next Democratic administration wants to do. And it means that the district courts are going to have to, you know, deal with things a little bit more piecemeal rather than trying to give one answer for the entire country from Amarillo or Maryland. I think this is going to be a valuable reset for the way the courts have been dealing with the administration.
The court's decision in the birthright case was certainly the most prominent of the day, but there were others too. The court upheld a provision of the Affordable Care Act that requires most insurers to provide free preventive care without copays. It upheld the FCC's longstanding fund, authorized by Congress nearly 30 years ago, to ensure that people living in rural and underserved areas have access to internet and phone services that are available in big cities. It upheld a Texas law that requires anyone seeking online access to sexually explicit material to provide proof of age, something that adults had objected to. It punted to next term an important voting rights case from Louisiana. Finally, it issued a major religion decision about the rights of parents to opt their children out of classes in which material, like school books with LGBTQ characters, violate their religious beliefs. At the center of the case was the Montgomery County, Maryland school system, the most religiously diverse county in the nation, with 160,000 students of nearly every faith. A group of parents sued the school board seeking to opt their elementary school children out of classes because they viewed the material as offensive to their religion. The school system refused, saying that it had tried an opt-out program but found it too disruptive. By a 6-3 vote, the Supreme Court agreed with the objecting parents. Writing for the court majority, Justice Samuel Alito said that parents challenging the board's introduction of LGBTQ-inclusive storybooks, along with its decision to bar opt-outs, unconstitutionally burdened the parents' right to the free exercise of religion. He said the storybooks conveyed a normative message that seeks to separate gender from biological sex, contrary to the parents' religious beliefs. Professor Thomas Berg of the University of St. Thomas Law School in Minnesota sees the decision as a major advance for religious believers who are required by law to send their children to some school and cannot afford a private school.
If the public school is the only option, then they have to make some room for people of different views in the public schools.
But he acknowledged that the court's opinion today failed to provide much guidance for public school systems as to what age groups must have opt-outs and in what circumstances. School boards have long allowed kids to opt out of sex education classes, for example. Indeed, in Maryland, that's the state law. But beyond that, educators have long been worried about this case. Sonia Traynor, executive director of the National School Attorneys Association, concedes that school boards may be loath to use controversial books and materials in class after today's Supreme Court decision.
I think they will vanillify it, but they're not going to stop teaching a widely accepted scientific consensus, for instance, on evolution. That's part of the state guidelines in most states. They're not going to stop teaching what they think kids should learn academically.
So that's the end of the Supreme Court term, to be resumed next October. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.